I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
And happy Friday. Well, it's Friday morning, so we must be recording our podcast.
Today is Friday. That means it's the weekend. But you have a busy weekend, don't you?
I do. We have a soccer tournament this weekend.
Is it a new season?
No, it's because we have now reached the, quote, senior season, because they're in high school.
Okay.
We take a break during the high school season from our club season, and so we're just now really getting back to it. So this is the first tournament of our return from the post-high school season.
Oh, the high school season's over.
Yeah, the high school season's over. So we have a tournament this weekend, then we have a weekend off, then we have another tournament, and then...
So I won't see you this weekend.
Not this weekend.
Not here, anyway.
Not here.
If I'm going to see you, I have to go to the soccer pitch.
The soccer
did
pitch.
I get it right?
You did.
I used to call it soccer field. But
yeah, no, it's a pitch.
Pitch. Okay.
It's a pitch. I read an article one time about the difference, but I don't remember what it is. So there is a difference. It's an
Why
important
do they call
difference.
It a pitch?
It's a very important difference.
You just don't remember.
But it's something I don't remember it.
You said a birthday, so memories start to fade
That's
after
right.
40.
That's right. So, well, today we are wrapping up our series on obstacles that keep us from attaining our goals.
Mm-hmm.
And today, so we're going to be talking about dealing with plateaus today. But before we get into that, I just wanted to mention something. A dear friend and colleague of ours, and I was, when I was getting everything ready for Mixlr and everything this morning, when I pull up our page and everything, all of our past chats and everything come up on the screen, and I didn't realize it, but one of the people chatting with us last week was a colleague that I've worked with and known for a couple of years now. Her name is Amanda. And she's a licensed mental health counselor, wonderful counselor, wonderful person, great mother. She's a terrific person. And last weekend, I found out that she and her family were in a very bad accident. And so I wanted to mention it because, you know, I saw her name there, and so she's in my mind today, and I'm thinking about her, and she's. From what I understand, she's doing okay. She experienced a lot of horrific loss in the accident, and so I know she's not listening. But if she does go back and listen, Amanda, we are thinking about you. We love you, and we do hope to see you and talk to you again soon. So
right, yeah, that very very tragic story, sad story. We work a lot with the schools. We have a lot of interaction. We have a lot of school-age children. And as we called schools this week, several elementary schools were touched personally by that accident.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had to all be patient because the school psychologist and the guidance, the school counselors, were providing grief counseling to the classmates of these children. And it reminded me again of what a fabulous job our school psychologists and our school counselors do at times like this, because they were all working overtime because there were a lot of classmates touched by those by that accident. So we commend you, school psychologists and school counselors, for your efforts. Be very difficult to do this without you, so thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's situations like this. You know, we hear about tragic incidents. We hear about accidents and deaths and all these kinds of things so often. And, you know, it just kind of goes to the background.
Right.
Because, you know, when it doesn't affect
us
directly.
Once it's on in the headlines, or if it doesn't affect us directly, right.
Mm-hmm. And so... you know, and again, when it's a name you recognize, it's sad, and it really lets you makes you step back and think. You know,
right.
Think about what's going on, and you're right. One incident, one accident, has a cascading effect, and it can affect so many other people. So, so we're thinking about you, Amanda, and we hope you. Recover, and we'll hope to see you very, very soon. So, all right. Well,
Yeah, that was it's been a tough week.
Got that out, yes.
There have been a couple of significant losses this week, and so
yeah,
it's been a long week.
So. Yeah. So on to the topic of today, and again, it's dealing with plateaus, and I think that we need to first talk about what we mean by dealing with plateaus.
Or put it in context, we've been talking about obstacles,
right,
to success, because this whole thing began with how do you meet your goals,
right?
How do you achieve those goals, and what keeps you going,
right?
And what keeps you going is success,
exactly.
Okay? But so this is part of that series,
right?
And what happens to all of us is that we do, whether we're trying to increase a behavior or decrease a behavior, we always reach plateaus, and when we hit those plateaus, things have a tendency to stall. So all of our hard work begins to stall. And right. So how do we get through those? And we want to talk about, yes, you will encounter plateaus, and these are some of the things you can do about when you hit them.
Exactly. And when we started this series, we talked about, we went through a variety of obstacles. We mm-hmm. talked about fear.
Right.
We talked about that stress that we experience when we think about change. The word change that elicits stress in and of itself. And so what we have recommended, of course, is making a list and talking about,
right.
We talked about structuring it and putting it into words. How do you want to, or how do you see yourself achieving this goal? So where you are now, where are you going, and how you get from where you are to where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right, Richard, that we've talked about the fact that success, the primary motivating factor, we talked about motivation last week,
mm-hmm.
the primary motivating factor is success.
Right.
When you are seeing that needle move, when you're seeing that trajectory take that sharp slide up in the direction that you're trying to go, that replenishes some of that energy so that you get out there and work more.
Right.
And you work to attain your goals. You keep going.
Right, right. Yet you have to have that feeling that this is working, because you're obviously giving up something that has been important to you, whether it's food or time or something. You're giving up something. And so this all has to be worth it. And what makes it worth it is the obvious signs of success. If you're trying to run a marathon, let's say, you know, you get from 5 miles to 10 miles to 15 miles, and it's those successes that keep you going. I mean,
right.
If you got to 10 miles and couldn't run any farther, why would you keep doing it? You know, so.
Why did you mention that, Richard?
It's been on my mind, especially, or weight loss, same thing. You know, working to get into a new dress size or a new weight or a new waist size.
Right.
You know, I want to go from a 38 to a 36 to a 34. Well, it's those successes that keep you going. If you stop, right. If you stop succeeding, your motivation is going to diminish.
Right.
And so that's what we want to talk about today, because you're going to hit these inevitable plateaus. You, Bernie, I'm talking to Dr. Bernie right now. You, Dr. Bernie, are going to reach a plateau. I mean, how far can you run?
Right.
Well, there are people who can run 150 miles. Are people who run mega marathons.
Yeah, I don't know that those are really humans. I think that
they're damaged. Well, it's
so we're joking because the update is at last week's
right.
podcast.
Oh, that's right.
We were saying that we talked about how the next day, last Saturday, I was going to run my first half marathon.
That's 13.1 miles.
Let's talk about that for a second before we get into
it. I see some humility coming. I'm going to enjoy this.
13.1 miles. It's supposed to be 13.1. According to my measurement, it was closer to 13.4. And that last 0.3 miles.
This man can squeeze success out of anything. I swear.
So you're absolutely right. And we talked about this afterwards, because
right.
and I think it's relevant here because we need to think about how we're measuring this. The truth be told, about 11 miles in, the 11 mile mark, I was thinking, this is stupid.
Why really?
Who would ever think about doing something like this? And so at that point in my mind,
so you began to question your sanity at mile 11.
I did. Okay. And but here's what I think. Here's how I began to process it once I actually had blood circulating to my brain. And
that's right. All your blood got shunted to your legs, and you were stupid.
And so here's what happened. When I was training, the farthest distance I ran in training was 9 miles.
Right.
And from what I had read, and I tried to be informed, what I had read was, when you're training, you don't really ever train for as long a distance as you run in a race.
Right.
You know, from what I understand, marathoners don't run 26.2 miles on
every day, relative basis.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, they work up and they do have long distance runs, but those long distance runs are sometimes even maybe half,
right,
of what they may eventually run in a race. So I did 9 miles, and I was thinking, you know what? I did that pretty well. I kept my general pacing, and so I felt pretty good about it. Well, what I figured out for me is that my body was saying, you know what? We can make it to 9 miles, and I did. I made it to 9 miles with at the same pace. But there were 4 more miles that I needed to run, and my body was sort of saying it didn't really want to do that. Started cramping and all that kind of stuff, despite drinking water along the way and trying to prepare with hydration. So I had to figure out something different. And so the reason that I think it's relevant here is because at the time, I did not feel very successful. And again, mile 11, I was thinking, what am I doing? This is ridiculous. I'm never going to do this again. This is a one shot deal. This is it. And so I finished, and again, as blood began to circulate to the rest of my body, and I realized how much my legs hurt and everything, I was standing there, and they started handing out awards, and they were doing the top three awards, top three times for different age groups. And I was like, you know what, I'm gonna stay because I would like to see
who they were,
how fast some of these guys did it. And when they got to my age group, I won third place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will tell you this, Richard, I won't tell anybody else this. There were only three people in my age group. So
that's not true.
It is true. But that's okay. I still have a very nice bronze medal.
You got a participation award.
Well, no. I didn't get a participation. Richard, stop. I got third place. And again, I recognize I'm fully, you know, I'm not disillusioned to believe that I did anything spectacular. But what I will say is that I was having a hard time dealing with the fact that I wasn't as successful as I wanted. And I was defining success as I just wanted to run the entire thing.
All 13 miles.
I just wanted to continue to move at least a jogging pace for all 13 miles. And I couldn't do that. After mile 9, I was walking. I was doing intermittent walking, running. And so I didn't feel very successful because I had set this goal for myself and I didn't make it. But what happened afterwards, and I saw that as a plateau, you know, again, upon reflecting back, this is, I wasn't reaching success anymore. Up to that point, you know, when I ran the 9 miles in practice, the couple days leading up to it, I was telling myself, you know what, you're going to run 9 miles. At 9 miles, you can stop, you can walk the rest of the way. And I had set that as a goal for myself. And I have, in training, relatively consistently met those goals. And it felt good. It was reinforcing. It made me motivated to do it again. So when I experienced that in the race,
right,
it was a shock from the perspective of again, a plateau. I wasn't seeing the success. I wasn't seeing the progress that I had hoped that I would see. And you know, like I think what happens to many people, I was having those thoughts of, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. This is stupid. I'm not mm-hmm. going to do this anymore. I'm done. And I was going to give up. And over the course of the next couple of days, as you know, I continued to process it and talk a little bit about it and joke a little bit about it, because you know, I think that's how I handle most mm-hmm. things in my life, is joking around with it. And I began to realize that's exactly what that was. And I was glad that we were going to talk about it this week, because we do hit those plateaus. Mm-hmm. We do experience and enjoy a good amount of success early on in the process. Mm-hmm. You know, when you mentioned losing weight and things like that, it's not at all uncommon for somebody to lose a good amount of weight in a relatively short amount of time mm-hmm. right when they start.
Right.
But then you hit that plateau. And then decisions are going to have to be made.
Right.
Okay, what am I going to do now? Am I going mm-hmm. to stop and say, this is as far as it's going, and go back to the way that life was before? Or do you find other ways to manage it? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Right. And mine is weight loss, but not intentional. I changed the kinds of food that I was eating.
Right.
A few months ago, sometime in the spring or summer. And I just decided that I wanted to eat more carefully. And so initially, there was this initial weight loss that happened relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. Then it stopped. And I've gone for weeks now where I'm not weighing myself, so I don't know. But you can tell with your clothes whether you continue to lose weight. Belts or, you know, pants are looser, belts are looser. And that happened relatively quickly. And now I've hit this plateau. And I can feel myself being tempted to go back and say, well, it doesn't matter anyway mm-hmm. because I'm not succeeding anymore. I'm not really losing any weight. I'm not changing my body size. So I've reached one of those plateaus, and I can already feel myself thinking, it doesn't matter. I can go ahead and eat this other food now because it doesn't matter anyway.
You asked me if I wanted a donut this morning.
I did. Yeah. Because I know you because I know you don't eat any of that stuff. And I was going to come with a box of Crispy. I don't eat them either, but I thought, well, I would offer at least.
The temptation is there.
It seemed like that was a better offer than a bag of carrots or something. But anyway, you and I both changed pretty dramatically how the foods that we're eating.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You lost weight more quickly because you're exercising, and I have to be careful about that. But yes, you hit these plateaus. Whether you're trying to increase your distance, in your case, increase your running distance, and you're going to hit these plateaus. I did when I ran. I'd get to 8 or 9 miles, and I'd start to have injuries. You know, mm-hmm. shin splints or plantar fasciitis or something. So you hit these plateaus, and then you have to decide, do I want to work through them? You know, what do I do to get through this?
Right.
Because you are inevitably, whether you're trying to lose weight or increase your running or walking or exercise, you're going to hit these plateaus.
Right,
so
right.
What do we do about them? That's what we're going to talk about.
So let's talk about some strategies for this.
Okay.
The first strategy, begin, well, as I'm saying it sounds funny to say, it began at the beginning. When you wrote down your roadmap, one of the things we encourage you to do is think about those times when it's going to be a little bit more rough going,
mm-hmm.
and to consider what you will do at those times. So hopefully, as you're beginning the process, when you're sort of in the planning phase, you're going to start to work to anticipate some of this. And I remember, you know, Richard, again, you know, using the example that you just had, when you were first starting to change your diet a little bit, I remember you telling me, you know, you said something to the effect of, it always goes well to begin with, but I just have to be ready for when, mm-hmm. you know, I'm hitting that time when I have to either add something else or I have to take that next step.
That's
right. So when you're talking about, you know, using yours as an example, you know, you work to change your diet and you see an effect. Well, you know, when we're talking about healthy lifestyles, if we're kind of focusing on that as the primary goal, diet is one component.
Right.
There are other components. Right. And so we have to, you know, once we sort of create new patterns of behaviors, mm-hmm. new habits with that first piece, that's when it's time, you know, when you reach that plateau, that may be your body telling you, okay, it's time to take the next step.
Right.
Don't stay where you are. You know, that's where it's time to take the next step. And that's why that first step of creating and you know, detailing all of the pieces, all of the increments from where you are to where you want to go, mm-hmm. that's why that's so important.
Right.
Because now you can see, all right, this was the first part. Now I'm ready for phase two. And phase two has these components that I have to add.
And we're talking about personal goals, whether it's running or weight loss or waist size or dress size or pant size. Those are personal goals. We also work with many parents who want to change the behavior of their children. They want their children to either increase a desirable behavior or decrease an undesirable behavior.
Right.
And once again, you have to do the same thing. You're not going to get, you should never anticipate, if you're a parent or a teacher, don't anticipate that you're going to get permanent change.
Right.
It's just an unrealistic expectation.
Right.
And so what you have to do is say, okay, this is my plan, and it should, and I know it will be successful because we've tried it before, and I know it will succeed, but it's only going to succeed for a certain amount of time. And then the child, the student, is going to hit a plateau.
Right.
So prepare ahead of time for when you, because you're going to hit that plateau. The kid is going to say, okay, this has been fun for a while and I've gotten my rewards, but I want to go back and do what I liked doing before this whole thing started.
Right.
So you're going to hit these plateaus. So prepare. And as you said, with a personal goal, are you going to increase your exercise or decrease your calorie intake?
Right.
Those are the only two choices. So, but you have to be ready for that, and you have to have a plan in effect. It has to be part of your written plan.
Right. And when you write it out, when you put it down, mm-hmm. it having it in black and white makes it just a little bit easier to make that decision. Because, you know, when we talk about planning, mm-hmm. one of the things I really like about the idea of planning, one of the reasons I really like the idea of sitting down and putting it down on paper mm-hmm. early on mm-hmm. is at that point, that's when you're probably thinking the most clearly about it.
That's right.
You know, when you're 3 months in and you're dealing with, you know, those, if you're still dealing with those urges to eat foods that you shouldn't eat, or you're still dealing with some of the behaviors that you're wanting to stop in the student or your child or whatever, that is not a good time to make decisions.
Right.
Because you're going to be making visceral decisions based upon emotional things that are happening at that moment.
That's right.
If you're able to prepare for that early on, mm-hmm. when you're calm, when there's not this additional stress, when there's not the additional pressures of the change in front of you, then you're able to see it more realistically.
Yeah, you don't want to make those adjustments when you're discouraged.
Right.
This shouldn't, you know, you want to get rid of this emotion. You know, when we talk about changing things, achieving goals, we're really, you know, we're talking about human behavior. And the two things we always want with human behavior, and the reason we encourage you to write everything down, is because you want two things. You want prediction.
Right.
And you want control.
Right.
Okay, that's what all this is about, is that we want you to be in control of the process. And the way to achieve that control, first of all, you have to predict. I know this is going to happen, and I know I'm going to encounter these plateaus. So that's number one. The second thing you want to do is you want to be in control of the process. And the only way you can be in control of the process is if you have a good plan.
Right.
It's your plan that gives you that control. So when you hit the plateau, you, number one, you're prepared, and number two, you have a plan. So you maintain control. If you just sort of move into the future and you hit the plateau and you're discouraged, you don't have a plan.
Right.
You don't know what you haven't planned for what the next step is going to be. You've lost control of the process. It becomes emotional. You give in to the emotions and you start eating again,
right.
Or you stop running,
right? So. Or you cut back on the important and good behavior management that you're using with your kid.
Right.
And you say, you know what, this isn't working anymore, so I'm going to go back to spanking.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, spanking wasn't working either,
right.
But you're going back to that because that's an emotional, that's a, you know, that's a right now,
right.
Man, you know, I can feel
it. And it's emotional.
Right. Mm-hmm. And for lack of a better reference, I can feel it in my hand that I did it, you know?
I did something.
Right.
I didn't spare the rod.
Right. Right. So I think that, you know, that I guess each week we've been talking about, we've mm-hmm. been going back to how just so important
right.
that initial writing it down it really, is.
You have to have a plan because that's what gives you the control that you need to carry through all the obstacles, because
right.
that's what we're saying. You are going to encounter these obstacles.
Right.
You know, fear of failure, fear of success. You know, there was a recent articles written on fear of success.
Right.
And it's a huge problem in our field
yeah.
where people start to get to realize some success, and that throws you off your goals. That throws you off track.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because with success comes expectation.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and then, can I sustain? Right. Can I keep it up?
And can I stay out of my old comfort zone?
Right.
You know, that was the other thing right. we talked about last week, is you're going to a new place that's unfamiliar.
Right.
And your brain wants you to go back to what was comfortable before.
Right.
So it's very difficult getting out of, and it's difficult for your children. When you take your children out of their comfort zone,
right.
you're going to encounter resistance.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're not going to do it just because you tell them to do it.
No.
So.
And you don't want to do it. You don't want them to do it because they're afraid of you.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's a whole other podcast
right.
there.
Man. Yeah. We don't want our kids to be afraid of us.
I really like. I like the way that we've talked about that before. I don't know yeah. if I've mentioned that to you, but so we'll talk about that more. So maybe that'll be another podcast.
Right.
So
forget to be afraid.
Forget to be afraid. Yeah, there's that's another mm-hmm. another use for that.
Right.
And it's just right. jumping up everywhere. So the first strategy for dealing with plateaus is the preparation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Another way is okay, so if you've done everything so far, you've made your plan, you are making some progress, you're seeing success, and then you hit the plateau. Another important thing, something that we do in therapy often, is we work to restructure how you're interpreting your experience.
Mm-hmm.
When we see plateaus, when we experience plateaus, for some reason, we tend to interpret that. And I did just a few minutes ago when I was explaining my experience last Saturday. We see that as failure. We see that plateau as, if I'm not right. getting better, I must be getting worse.
Right.
And that's when we throw in the towel. We're like, it's not working anymore, so I'm done.
Right.
We need to work to restructure that because, you know, it certainly isn't failure.
No, and boy, you can't, you know, we talked about what keeps you going is success.
Right.
Okay. It's the success that keeps you going. You can't be very careful that you don't define a plateau as failure.
Right.
Because it isn't failure.
Right.
Okay. And so it's not the opposite of success.
Right.
Hitting a plateau is not failure.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's think about what this means, all right? So you have a goal that you're working towards. When you're seeing change, if we think about that from a systems perspective, what we have done is we have taken your system, however you define that, whether it's your body right. or your environment or your child or whatever, and we have taken that out of homeostasis. Homeostasis keeps everything, says everything is in balance, everything's the same, and it's not changing.
And you mean homeostasis as in this is your comfort zone.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You found your ashram. You found
right.
your comfort zone.
So, and for the most part, even if it's not something that we really like, we typically begin this process in a homeostasis.
Right.
Now, it's a homeostasis of unhealthiness.
Right.
It's a homeostasis of frustration. But it is homeostasis. That is the norm, for lack of a better word. So when we begin the process of working towards our goals, what we're really doing, that change, that improvement, that success that we're seeing, is because we're taking it out of homeostasis and moving it in the direction that we want to go.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. When we reach a plateau, I think that it's a very realistic way to interpret a plateau as reaching a new level of homeostasis. This is just how it is. This can be the new baseline. Mm-hmm. You can look back down the mountain where you started from. You've come a long ways from where you were, but this is the new homeostasis. And so instead of seeing it as failure, seeing it as this is our new jumping point. This is our new starting point.
You know, there was an article, wonderful article written a few years ago that said people who are overweight not because they, it's not because you consume too many calories. You consume too many calories because you're overweight.
Right.
It takes more caloric intake to maintain 200 pounds of body weight than it does to maintain 165 pounds
Absolutely.
Of body weight.
Absolutely.
And so if you're heavier, you are going to need to eat more to sustain that body weight.
Right.
Okay. And that's what those plateaus are.
Right.
Because now you've gone down, and so it takes less food to sustain a lower body weight.
Right.
That's what you're talking about with the new homeostasis.
Right.
But you're not used to eating less food because your old homeostasis was 2,000 calories a day. Well, now you don't need 2,000 calories a day because you weigh 50 pounds less.
Right. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And so what we're saying then is it's really just the lens through which you're looking at the plateau.
That's right.
If you're looking
how
at
how you interpret this plateau.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you still moving at an upward angle from towards where you want to go? No. But again, if you look back, you've come a long way.
But you are at a new place.
Right.
And it is the step to the next place.
Right. 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 Mm-hmm. So again, we do this in therapy often where we restructure and reformulate things so that we think about it a little bit differently. And just approach it from a different perspective. And and we call it dealing with cognitive distortions.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't think that if we stepped back and we looked at a plateau, I don't think that there's any way from a realistic cognitive, you know, analytical perspective that you could really interpret that as failure. Mm-hmm. But yet that's how we see it. That's how we emotionally respond to it.
Can I tell one more personal story?
Sure.
I've hit this plateau and I've been here for weeks. Mm-hmm. And it has really been discouraging. I've talked to you about
it.
We had visitors recently. Okay. We talk about discouragement and what does a plateau mean. One of the visitors, who will remain unnamed, family visitor, bought a pint of Ben and Jerry's, and it's been in the freezer. Okay, every time I go into the freezer, because they're gone now, but the Ben and Jerry's remains. Every time I go into the freezer, I see that Ben and Jerry's, and that Ben and Jerry's is calling my name every day. It has taken a monumental effort because Ben and Jerry's is part of the old comfort zone.
Right.
I mean, they are permanent residents. Ben and Jerry's,
they're good friends,
are permanent residents in my old comfort zone, And that Ben and Jerry's is in there, and it's screaming at me to eat it. And I haven't given in yet. And I hate to throw it out, but I'm probably going to. We have more visitors coming next week, so maybe they'll eat it, and it'll stop calling me. But that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
It's part of my old world.
Right.
My new world doesn't contain Ben and Jerry's or that kind of food anymore. And but it happens to all of us, and you have to work your way through the plateaus. Most importantly, you don't see them as failure.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you mentioned the story about Ben and Jerry's, because what do I have every day?
And every day you come into my office, I want to tell you something. My office is across the hall from the kitchen. And Dr. Bernie goes into the kitchen, and he does this every single day, at least once. He comes in.
Sometimes twice.
Thank you. He comes into my office with this wonderful looking ice cream. What are the ice cream on a stick?
Yeah, it's like an ice cream bar.
On a stick.
Yeah, but it's all dairy-free,
gluten-free. I don't care because it looks like Ben and Jerry's. And he comes into my office, and he walks in, in the doorway, looks at me, takes the first bite, and then walks out. It's like, I am going to kill him, one of the, because it, I don't care what it's made of or doesn't, it can have zero calories, but it gets all my juices flowing when I say, and he takes that first bite, then he just walks out of the office and leaves me with all of my failure feelings.
I'm trying to motivate you to, I've offered them to you before, but they're delicious. They're by So Delicious, and they are not a sponsor or anything of this podcast, though. Should they want to become a sponsor of this?
What, they're So Delicious?
So Delicious is the brand.
If you're tuning in, anybody from So Delicious, if you would like to sponsor this,
it's a perfect
name. Telling you, Dr. Bernie is a fan.
It's a perfect name.
Not an endorsement, but he's a fan. So.
Man. But you're right. And so what you have to do, again, is you find the replacement.
Right.
So you can't have Ben and Jerry's, but you can have So Delicious. Or you can't have a candy bar, but you can have some grapes. Right. And so you find that replacement. But the plateau is letting you know, I think. It's a way that our body communicates to us that, okay, we've reached this new level.
Mm-hmm.
For the gamers, we've leveled up. Okay, now we're here. The next level may be a little bit more challenging, but
thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're still here. You know, mm-hmm. we've come so much farther than where we were before.
And
as long as we don't see it as failure, as long as we don't allow it to discourage us to the point where we go backward, we will continue. That's our new starting point. That's where we will keep beginning from. So as we start up the next incline,
mm-hmm.
if we fall, if we can't quite make it, we only fall back to this plateau. We don't
right.
fall all the way back to the beginning.
I just had something clicked. I had a metaphysical moment as you were speaking.
All
You're
right.
such at the new plateau, at the new place.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a major change to get from where I was to that plateau.
Right.
You forget that it takes a major change to get to the next plateau.
Right.
I haven't been willing to make that major change.
Right.
I was thinking that I can keep doing what I'm doing because it got me here and it should get me to the next level. Wrong.
Right.
I have to be willing to make another major change.
Right.
And in my case, it's going to have to be what I do from the time I leave the office in the afternoon.
Right.
Because morning and noon, I don't have any problem with. Okay. The difficulties start
right.
after I get home
sure.
at night, which is normal.
Right.
I have to change something about that time period.
Right.
But I have to be willing to make another major change.
Right.
What I did before isn't going to get me to the next step.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And again, not to completely beat the dead horse, but when you're creating that path,
right.
you know, I would encourage you to even create the path with that frame of mind.
That's
so
right.
you say, from where I am now to the first plateau, this
right.
is what I'm going to do.
Right.
When
right.
I reach that first plateau, this is what I'm going to do
now
to the
I
second
have to make,
plateau.
Get ready to make another major
right.
change.
Right.
I have to take myself out of that. I once again have to take myself out of the comfort zone.
Right.
You don't just get to take yourself out of the comfort zone once.
Right.
With your running, you got out of your comfort zone. Now you're at 9 miles. Okay.
Right.
You can do that. Now you have to get out of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
So now you have more pain.
It was really uncomfortable.
More time, because it's going to take a long time to
yeah.
run that much every day.
Right.
To stay in that kind of condition. So you have to make another major change, another major commitment, and get out of the new comfort zone.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So,
yeah. No. Absolutely. And when we plan for it, when we create it in that way, it makes more sense.
Right.
It makes it a more natural progression.
And it gives you control of the process.
And I think it also helps us from becoming overwhelmed.
Right.
Because if you know, we talked early on in this process, we talked about how one root of failure comes when we try to change too much at one
right.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we overdo it and we say, okay, well, I'm going to start running 3 miles a day, or I'm going to cut down to 1,000 calories a day, which, you know, isn't really recommended at all.
Right.
But we make these huge, dramatic things that we're going to do. And as soon as we can't do it one time, or as soon as we can't do one piece of it, then again, we tend to quit. And that's why resolutions are more challenging, as we talked about from the beginning. But if you say, you know, from the beginning to the first plateau, I'm just going to change this one thing. Mm-hmm. Once I have mastered that, and that becomes the new homeostasis, mm-hmm. now I'm going to add the next thing. And I work up, and I maintain what I've now become accustomed to, and now I'm going to change the next thing. And that gets me to the next plateau, and then the third thing, and the fourth thing, and so on, until we get to our eventual goal. Mm-hmm. If your goal is higher education, this is sort of a natural thing to happen, because you don't start from, okay, I have a high school diploma and I want to have a master's degree. Well, you don't go straight from having a high school diploma to getting a master's degree. Right. You start out with, you know, your first class at the community college, maybe. Right. Mm-hmm. And you work your way up to, you know, I'm taking two classes at a time. Now I can handle that pretty well. I'm going to take three classes at a time, and so on. Then I have my AA degree. And then you have to take the next step up to get your bachelor's degree, and then the next step up. And it's a natural progression in some of these parts of our lives, but we tend to resist implementing those same strategies in some of these other areas, mm-hmm. Where maybe it's not so natural, but still just as effective and just as beneficial. If your goal is work related, mm-hmm. you know, I was listening to a really good podcast yesterday, because I was in the car a lot yesterday. So I was listening to this great podcast, and they were talking about the lie. What was it called? The lie of busy. And it mm-hmm. was talking about how we sort of quantify our importance or how much we're working by how busy we are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we sort of have this badge of honor by saying that we're really busy. Well, you know, you're more productive when you're not as busy. You're actually getting more done when you're not as when you're not as busy, because usually when we say that we're busy, it's oftentimes busy doing peripheral things that aren't really as important, checking Facebook and looking at emails and doing those kinds of things. And so if your goal is to become more productive at work, mm-hmm. you know, again, you want to look at and consider these steps and where these plateaus are going to come. So you may start with saying, I'm not going to check email until 8:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. or I'm not going to look at Facebook until lunchtime. Again, small things, and then you're going to get to a plateau and you're going to say, well, okay, I haven't been looking at Facebook until lunchtime, and so I'm getting some more things done in the morning, but you're going to reach a plateau, and it's going to say, okay, well, you're really still only getting about this much done, and mm-hmm. you don't want to go back and say, okay, I'm going to go back to looking at Facebook because clearly this isn't working. No, you maintain that, and then you start saying, okay, I'm only going to check Facebook, you know, at the top of the hour, every hour, or I'm only going to check email at these times. And you just identify those little things that are distracting you from the work that you want to do or those mm-hmm. goals that you have, and you weed them out one step at a time. You can't start out by saying, I'm going to cut all this stuff out. I'm not going to check Facebook at all at work. That's probably not realistic. Right. I'm not going to check email until, you know, 4:00. That's probably not realistic. But if you say, I'm only going to do it at these times, again, like a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about comfort zone, you're getting out of your comfort zone, but then you come back to your comfort zone, and you're moving in and out so that you can slowly expand it in the least discomforting way possible.
The least objectionable way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because your body's going to battle you with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, looking at Facebook is reinforcing. I mean, you know, there is some pleasure for a lot of people. I know you don't, but for some people, there's a lot of pleasure that comes from seeing what people are doing and hearing people complain or hearing people, you know, over exaggerate their good things that are happening in their life. You know, some people get a lot of joy out of that, and so your body wants to experience that. So is going to fight you. So you have to.
We do what feels good.
Right. We do what feels good.
We all do what feels good. And you always have to be careful about why are you doing what you're doing. Is it just making you feel good, or is it productive time?
Right.
When people tell me, oh, I'm really busy, my first question is productive busy or frenetic busy?
Right.
You know,
right.
Big difference.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, again, it comes back to defining what you mean by success, mm-hmm. how are you going to get there, and then recognizing those little steps so that when you hit the plateaus, using that as a cue, okay, now it's time for stage two. Mm-hmm. Okay, now it's time for stage three. So
people who are Facebook users tell me that they can get lost in Facebook.
Oh, absolutely.
A woman told me one time when she first started using it, she said, my goodness, 4 hours went by and I didn't even realize it.
Right.
I've never had that experience, but people tell me that that's what happens. That makes you feel good. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't do what doesn't feel good.
Right.
Okay. So there's some...
It's chemical.
There's some good feeling that comes with I don't know what to call it, meandering about Facebook.
Sure.
I mean, because you can go a lot of different places.
Right.
Right,
I mean,
Facebook.
I mean, we know from a neurochemical perspective, mm-hmm. Binge watching TV
right.
releases a lot of serotonin. That's
right.
why, you know, it's
it
for
good.
Many people, it's relaxing
yeah.
and that kind of thing. And you lose the same kind of time. Facebook does the same thing. It's
just
relaxing.
Absorbs you.
Yeah. And you mm-hmm. just kind of get lost in it. And so when we're trying to cut back on that, we just have to be... I think we just have to be cognizant of mm-hmm. what our real limitations are, what our real mm-hmm. abilities are as it relates to dealing with that and making those changes.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be overambitious. And again, I know we talked about that over the last couple podcasts, but, you know, we have to break it up into pieces so that we can, again, deal with these, with the plateaus and deal with, you know, maintaining our motivation all along the way. So wrapping up today, all right? So dealing with plateaus, you're going to experience them. Remember that from the beginning. From day one, as soon as you sit down and you say, I want to attain this goal in my life, mm-hmm. As soon as you sit down to do that and write that out, consider the idea of plateaus. Consider
right.
the fact that there are going to be times when you're not going to see the success mm-hmm. that you will initially.
That's
you're
right.
at different times in the process.
That's right. And especially if you're working with your own children, if you're a teacher working with students, if you're a parent working with your children, don't anticipate permanent change any
right.
more than you anticipate personal change in your own life,
right.
change in your personal life. You're not going to get personal change. It's an unrealistic expectation. You're going to make some improvements, but then you're going to have to work harder to go to the next level.
Right.
And then you're going to have to work hard to get to the next level. And then you're going to. But it's a stepwise progression. It's not a straight line.
Absolutely.
Okay? So be prepared for these plateaus and have a plan for what you're going to do when you hit these plateaus, whether it's your own personal goals or whether it's changing the behavior of your children.
Right. And so to do that, when you're writing it out, when you're following the process that we're talking about, and you are writing the steps from where you are to where you want to be, build it in. You know, say that, you know, this is how, you know, how empowering is that to say, this is the first plateau that I'm going to experience.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit down and you really think about it,
right.
you'll be able to identify it.
That's right.
You'll know
mm-hmm.
When we were talking about you changing your diet earlier.
Right.
We know, we anticipated mm-hmm. that there would come a time that you just aren't going to change much.
I knew it was out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you identify that, then you have a plan to say, okay, this is when it will come. This is how I'll identify it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'll do next. That's the trigger to go to the next step. And so the key with that is the other part that we talked about besides the planning piece is the restructuring how you interpret
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
a plateau.
Mm-hmm.
A plateau is not a failure.
Right.
It is not an indication that it's not going to be effective anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an indication that you have reached a new level of homeostasis and you need to, now
That's
it's time
right.
for the next step.
I think the important things here is, the two important words are, the plateau is not a failure. It's also not a destination. It's simply a stop along the way.
Right.
Okay. It is not my destination. And we misinterpret that first plateau as my destination. No, it's not. I'm here now. Now it's time to take the next step. So get out of my new comfort zone. You know, I'm not even used to my new comfort zone.
Right.
But I have to get out of my new comfort zone to get to the next level, to get to my next goal.
Right.
Okay. I have to take myself out and go to the next goal. So plateau is not a failure. Plateau is not a destination.
Right. Right. So when we put all of this together that we've talked about over the past couple of weeks, hopefully what we've helped you identify is a pretty straightforward, I guess, straightforward way of approaching dealing with setting goals and working towards goals. We began with talking about fear, the fear that keeps you from taking that first step and doing what you need to do to even begin the process. The fear of success, the fear of failure, the fear of ridicule. We talked about a lot of different fears and you know, the way that you can restructure that in your mind to get started and get the goals going.
Right.
The next thing we talked about was stopping old habits. And remember, we emphasized that it's critical that you don't waste your time, for lack of a better approach, don't waste your time trying to stop behaviors. Instead, replace those behaviors with new ones.
Right.
It's far easier, if you remember that podcast, that was episode 40, I think. It's far easier to start new behaviors than it is to stop old behaviors. And again, that goes back to that homeostasis stuff, that goes back to, I mean, that's your brain. I mean, plain and simple. Next, you got to leave your comfort zone. You know, you have to recognize that you're going to experience some discomfort. That's going to create anxiety. That's going to create frustration. And you have to ease yourself into it and then come back to a relaxing state. You have to use relaxation techniques. You have to do a variety of things to help yourself deal with that discomfort. And then last week we talked about motivation. You know, motivation is a mystery for the most part, but one thing we do know is that motivation is fueled by success. And the more success you can experience, the more motivated you're going to be to continue down that path or to continue doing what you're doing.
That's right. The mantra here is, if you want to increase motivation, you have to increase achievement or increase success. You don't just work on motivation. Remember, we always say, if you want to increase motivation, you have to increase somebody's success.
Yeah.
If it's academic, then you have to increase achievement, and that will increase motivation.
Right.
But
right.
You gotta do that first.
Right. No matter what it is.
Doesn't matter.
If you're seeing progress, you're going to be motivated to keep going.
If I can't increase your running distance or speed, your motivation is going to decline.
Right.
So the only way I can increase your motivation is if I can show you a way to increase your speed or your distance.
Right. Right. And so when you have all of those pieces in place, then you just have to deal with how you are going to manage the plateaus,
right?
Because they're going to happen, and it's, you know, if you change the way that you think about them, mm-hmm. change the way that you interpret them, and then implement the plan that you began with.
That's right.
You will be able to handle those plateaus without a problem.
Get out of your comfort zone.
Right. I say without a problem. It'll still be tough.
It's tough.
Let's be honest.
It's tough.
It's going to be tough, but you'll be able to get through it and get to where you want to be.
And because you're at every step, you're battling biology.
Right.
And your brain wants to go back to what felt good,
right?
Your comfort zone. Okay, so you have to be constantly battling that. But that's okay. You can do that.
You can do it. So, all right. I think that's everything. So
we've
now wrapped up this series on achieving your goals. Mm-hmm. We'll have to think about what we're going to talk about next week.
I have some ideas.
Well, I do too.
Okay.
So we'll see what we're going to... We'll have to rock, paper, scissors, and figure out which one we're going to do. So a quick update or quick announcement next week. So
next
February
Thursday.
18th,
right.
We are doing a workshop here at the office on dealing with test anxiety. February 29th, the testing window here in Florida opens for standardized testing. And so our kids and students are going to begin to experience or that anxiety and everything that's sort of already percolating underneath is going to really start to show.
The anxiety associated with the ridiculous high-stakes testing program that has been foisted on our nation.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I can be very frank about it. Also, I wanted to say February 22nd, next a week from Monday, I'll be doing my last in a series at Davenport School of the Arts.
Oh, yeah.
On the middle school mind about raising teenagers, managing teenagers and their struggles. So that's the 22nd. So we have the 18th.
Right.
Our workshop.
That's here in the office.
22nd. Mm-hmm. We have the last one there. And then we have a few more things coming in March.
Right.
That we'll be telling our listeners about.
Yeah.
So, busy spring.
And we're very close. I don't think we've said this yet on the podcast, but I'm going to say it just because to serve as a motivator for us. We are very close to finishing the new revision of our parenting book.
That's right.
We are very close.
Very close to having that revision finished. Right.
We're hoping that we'll be able to release it as an ebook pretty soon. Hopefully by the end of this month, if not by the beginning of next month.
Yeah, we've been asking parents to wait until we get the revision out.
Right.
And buy the old one, wait for the new one, because the new one is revised, updated, and improved.
Right. So it's the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child. It should be, like I said, in your... on the ebook shelves. Are they still bookshelves? And if they're ebooks?
I don't know.
They're going to be on the ebook shelves as Kindle.
Right.
Hopefully within the next month or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly by March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're looking forward to talking more and sharing more about that.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing, our webmaster, that's me, by the way, who really is not qualified in any way to be a webmaster. I'm working to create a forum page on thementalbreakdown.com.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm reaching a plateau with frustration with it.
Yes, you are.
He's
reached a new plateau of frustration.
But I'm hoping to have that soon. So that we can talk about some of these things, so that we can, you know, open up the doors for discussions about things, so people can go in and find some other resources and other people talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. So that we want to provide
a forum for other people to share their ideas and
Absolutely.
Their opinions. So we look forward to hearing from you, but we'll keep you up to date on that as soon as the webmasters. The process.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's it.
But happy Friday. Have a good weekend. Be safe.
Yes. So, and stay warm. So until next week, I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
And forget to be afraid.
Forget to be afraid.